All right, you can be seated today. Everybody stand up if you would. Pray for me this week. I'll be preaching at an Orthodox Brotherhood Church this week in Beirut. I'm going to Beirut today. Jasmine's already there. And they are a Orthodox bunch. I mean, they told me that they sit there, they stare at you, they never make a sound. They look down their nose at you, and some reason or another, they wanted me to come preach. So I think about doing that where I jump off the pulpit. You know that when I jump off the pulpit and get them to come up? I might do that right off the bat to break the ice and just, you can only go up from there. Once you hit bottom, you know, you just kind of start going up. And then I'm going to be preaching next Sunday. Well, David is here. I'll be preaching at an Indonesian church in Holland. I haven't done this in a while. They've been begging for years and years, so I'll be preaching at an Indonesian church. And if you've ever spoken that language, heard that language spoken, it throws you off when you preach. You'll say something, and next thing you know, and kind of scares you a little bit. So you have to get used to it. So pray for me next week. It's always a challenge to do this after I haven't done it for a long time. So I just believe the Lord to help me. All right. Here's what we're doing today. I had a sermon already, and it was going to skin you alive. It was horrible. It was one of those where you're going to slunk out of here whether you're saved or not. And Jasmine was gone, so I took 3 days cleaning my office, going through old stuff, you know, doing all this. Well, somehow or another, I threw my sermon away. Come on, somebody. So I hope the garbage man, yeah, some of y'all are clapping up front. So I hope the garbage man, you know, gets saved when he reads this sermon, because it was hot. And it was on fire. And so I started doing it again. You know how you go through everything and it's not there. And it can't be because it's just me there. So I couldn't blame Jasmine. Come on, somebody. That's kind of hard to do. And I had to take all full credit for what had happened. And I looked through everything. It's gone. I don't know where it's at. And I don't do it on a computer. I do it longhand. I write all my sermons out longhand. I have the latest. I got the new iPad Retina Mini, you know, came out just a few days. I do all the you know, newest technology. I just cannot. If I do a sermon on a computer and print out, it's like it's somebody else's. It's not mine. I just write it out all longhand. So there was only one copy. That was like the manuscripts, the holy manuscripts. And when it's gone, it's gone. So I could praise God. So it's gone. I couldn't find it. So we read it. I started redoing the same sermon. How many know when you redo it sometimes you just, yeah, so the Lord spared you, as Paul told the Corinthians. And so here's what we're going to do. 1 Samuel chapter 20. It said, David fled Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt and what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" Then Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is a new moon. You'll be missed because your seat will be empty. On the third day, go down quickly to the place where you hid yourself when the matter was in hand and remain beside the stone heap. And I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I shot at a mark. Behold, I will send the young man saying, 'Go find the arrows.' And if I say to the young man, 'Look, the arrows are on this side of you, take them,' then you are to come, for as the Lord lives, it is safe for you and there is no danger. But if I say, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you,' then go, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever." So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat. All right, keep going. As soon as the boy had gone, the Bible says this, that David comes and hides 3 days later. And the Bible says Jonathan, the son of Saul, comes and he shoots the arrows. And he shoots them beyond the rock. Now you can imagine, Jonathan, watch this. As soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the most. And what happened? So the boy ran, "Run, find the arrows that I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. Now, you can imagine David is sitting there. And after 3 days, what the situation is, David was brought into the kingdom by Saul, the king, because he had evil spirits. And David would play the harp, and the evil spirits would leave Saul. And but what happened was these evil spirits got on Saul. He became jealous of David and began to try to kill David. And David ran for his life, and he hid out in the wilderness. And Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, was good friends with David. And David went to Jonathan and said, "Jonathan, why is your daddy trying to kill me? I'm only for him." The Bible says, Jonathan said, I can't believe that. Let me go find out. You just stay away. If your seat is empty, my dad will get upset and I'll come back and tell you the news. But here's how we're going to do it. You hide so the boy doesn't see you. You hide behind the stone that we're talking at right now. And if I shoot the arrow in front of you and the arrow falls in front of you, you'll know it's safe to come out and come back to the palace. But if I shoot the arrow and the arrows go over your head, you know that your life is in danger and you're not going to the palace, you're going to the wilderness. And David comes at the appointed time and Jonathan's there also with his little boy to fetch the arrows. And Jonathan rears back with the bow and David is sitting there. And you can imagine, David is wanting with all of his heart those arrows to fall in front of the stone. David is wanting with all of his heart for those arrows to come short. But as he sits there and that first arrow is let loose, he's watching it intently. And it's more than just some shooting of an arrow because he knows his future is about to be told him right then and there. And you can imagine probably his heart dropping as he watches that arrow fly over his head. And then the second arrow fly over his head and the third arrow fly over his head. The Bible says he knows in his heart he's not going back to the palace, he's going to the wilderness. Jonathan and he come together, and the Bible says they make a pact, and we talked about that a little bit last week, all that took place. But I want to talk to you this morning about when the arrows fly over your head. It's the times when the arrows fly over your head. Let's pray this morning. Father, we ask you for wisdom and insight. Open our hearts that we can receive the word. Lord, teach us your ways that we can walk in your paths. Open our eyes, give us grace and mercy in everything we ask in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. You can be seated today. David was under the leadership of a wild man. Saul was demon-possessed, literally, and David would play, and those demons would leave temporarily, and then they would come back. And it's safe to say that when David saw, we talked about, David was sitting there, and he saw that the arrows were about to be shot over his head. It was as if he was saying this, even though you think you're ready to go to the throne, you're not. He had been anointed at this time by Samuel, who told him, I'm going to anoint you. You're the next king of Israel. He was within eyesight. He was within earshot. He could see the throne. It was his because by decree of God. And yet standing between him and his destiny was this madman. And can I tell you, there is nothing out of the will of God in your life. If you love God with all your heart, there's nothing that can come into your life without the hand of God permitting it. One of the keys is, Brother Eccles used to tell me, the old gentleman I grew up under, the pastor in town, he used to tell me most Christians just believe that all things work together, just hope that all things work together. They don't really know it. They say it, but they don't know it. They don't live it, that all things, everybody say this, all things works together for the good. Not for the bad, but for the good. That means good and bad things work together for the good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So David comes and he says, I'm glad he did not go to the palace. Because when you read David's life, he had a lot of junk that needed to be worked out of him. He needed to learn how to lean on God, oh, totally, and not to lean on man. David had a tendency to be a liar. I don't know if you know that or not. He had a tendency to lie at times. It would just come out of him. He had a tendency at times to lean on the arm of flesh and lean on man. See, one time his greatest sin was not Bathsheba. His greatest sin was one time he numbered Israel. And the Bible says the Lord came and dealt with. And it wasn't so much that he counted, but what he was counting on. And God comes and deals with him and tells him, you lean on me, you don't lean on the arm of flesh. So the Bible says when David saw those arrows come over his head, I'm glad, but please understand, God has a purpose in everything that happens in your life. Whether it is good or whether it is bad, he works that way. And you understand that David had gone to the palace that day, he would not have gone into the wilderness and written Psalms 120. Look at this psalm he wrote while he was in the wilderness. A song of ascents, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? What is it, David? I'm learning that my help does not come from man. Come on. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade of your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Everybody say amen this morning. See, he'd never learned that in the palace. He would have never written that psalm sleeping on silk sheets. He wrote that psalm when he was in the wilderness running for his life from King Saul. There are some things you'll only learn in the valley, you'll not learn on the mountaintop. You're learning. I remember the pastor before me told me this one time, and I never forgot. He said, Randy said, Terry, I fear success more than I fear failure. I fear success more than I ever fear failure. Because failure comes and you learn things in it. Pain always is a great teacher. Listen what 1 Peter chapter 5 says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may, everybody say, at the proper time. Do you know that conveys to me that there's an improper time? There's a proper time and there's an improper time. That at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, watchful, your adversary, the devil. How many know there's still a devil around? Now, let me explain him to you. I'll do it in just a second. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's his job. That's what he does. That's his assignment is to always be seeking around, always seeking somebody to devour. Always around. It says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the whole world. And after you have suffered a while, that's not an if in there, that's a when. After you have suffered, thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. After you have suffered a while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Everybody say amen one more time. Now, after you have suffered a while. Oh, I didn't sign up for that. Yeah, it was in the small print. You may not have read it when you signed up to be a Christian. But in the small print, it says, suffering is part of the program. It's not a bed of roses, not sitting there, you know, everything going great. Yes, but if everything, you know what happens? If everything always goes good for you, it would be horribly bad for you. What do you mean? Watch this. Look at the next scripture. The Jews came to Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they cheered Paul. They did what? Stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, see, this is when I believe he went to heaven. This is when I believe he spoke about one time. He said there was a man in Christ so many years ago was caught up into the third heaven. I think this is when he was, you know, see, we think he was caught up in the third heaven praying glory to God. He went to heaven when he got dead, when he stoned to death. That's what happened. Disciples stood around him, got up. He got up. I believe he came back to life. They rounded praying. They're seeking him. He was raised from the dead. How many know when you get stoned, normally that does you some damage? When he got up, he entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And they preached the gospel of that city and they made disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Strengthening the souls of the disciples. How were they strengthening them? How? What was their message? What was Paul's message? If he came back here, can you imagine you've just been stoned to death? You went to the third heaven. You come back and you're going to have a message. Notice what his message is. Encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many what? Through many tribulations. This is a man just got killed. This is a man just got stoned to death. He saw the glory. See, he saw the glory of God. He had that vision of heaven. He saw all that stuff. But in the physical, it looked like a bad thing. But in the spiritual, it was a great thing. In the natural, it was a bad day. But in the spiritual, it was a great day. Some of you had him in rotten egg, let alone being stoned. Look at the next scripture. It came about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are what? Stagnant in spirit. Can I tell you one of the worst things would happen to you if every day of your life was a tremendous, glorious day? You would become so stagnant, you'd stink. If your day was so great, if your life was so great, there was not those seasons when troubles pile up beyond measure, and you think, oh God, all I want is sunshine, all I want is blue skies. If that happened to you, all you would experience, it would be you become so stale in your walk with God, you'd stink to high heavens. So God's got a reason, God's got a purpose. And let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you a story that's a true story. There was an old fisherman once that he was part of a lot of fishermen that worked this particular area. And when they would be fishing, they would come in and from fishing, many of them at night, and they'd come in and they would sell their fish along the dock. And there came, and I read this story, there came a time when this one guy on this one boat began to sell more fish than anybody else. The other fishermen began to be upset at him, thinking he may be retired. He doesn't need the money. He's just doing it to get out. And because the lines became long and the lines became short at their fishing spot. So they sitting there one day. And one day they finally went to him and said, what are you doing, buddy? You undercutting all of our prices? He said, absolutely not. He said, I'm asking the same thing everybody's asking. So finally they went and they went to one of the customers. They said, tell us, why are you going here and not here? Because we all fish the same lake. It's all... He said, we don't know, but his fish just seemed to be a lot fresher than everybody else's fish. So finally they came back when they said, all right, tell us a secret. What are you doing? What's happening? He said, I'm not telling my secret. He said, I just... And so until that man died, he always had more customers than anybody else. Finally, when he died, his daughter came down and she was selling off everything. And some of the fishermen came and said, hey, can you tell us what's the deal? What does your daddy do that helped his fish to look fresher than any other fish? And she said, oh, I know that. Come on, look. She took them to the boat, and there was a big live well down in the bottom of the boat where they threw their catch in every day. And when that fisherman looked down in there, down in the bottom of that thing, he saw one of those old ocean catfish, one of those big old ocean catfish. And if you know anything about a catfish can be very territorial. And what happened was when those fish would be thrown in, that catfish would go after them because it's territorial, like your animals are, and they mark their spots. And so whenever that old fisherman would come in off the shore, they'd look down in his live well, and those fish would be flopping around up and down because that catfish would be chasing them, nibbling, and they looked so much fresher. Let me tell you, there's a catfish from hell this morning. Come on, somebody. Some of you have envied, you know, Hollywood stars that have their own personal trainer. God's got his own personal trainer just for you. His name is the devil. And what God does is what the devil meant for evil, God means for good. And when the devil thinks he's doing you harm, in the process, he's simply keeping you fresh in the Holy Spirit, because you'll never pray like you pray when you got this going on and that going on and you're facing this and you're facing that. I tell you, we never prayed like the day when Ben, you know, we all cried. We all said, we talked to Ben. We was going into Tahrir Square when he was going into Egypt. Remember that story? He Ben wanted to go be inside a revolution. Come on, somebody. And so everybody's young one time. He wanted to be inside a revolution. He'd been inside a revolution. He majored in history in college. And so he flew into Egypt while everybody is trying to escape Egypt. And he calls us, and we found out he's in Tahrir Square. And then we found out he can't get out of Egypt. But how many know Jasmine and I's prayer life took another level right then? Because what happens is the catfish from hell, as he nibbles on your nibbles and comes as a catfish that's seeking whom he may devour, it just keeps you fresh. And what he means for evil, God turns for good. It keeps you from getting stagnant. It keeps you from getting to a place where you become... I'm going to tell you this morning, we come into worship. Some of you just came through and went through the routine because you've got life is so good right now. Others of you came in and your heart, I mean, you're worshiping God. You're seeking God. You know why? Because the catfish from hell is nibbling at your toes. What happens is it keeps you fresh. It keeps you hungry. It keeps you... Listen, I believe when God begins to allow him, whatever the devil means for evil, God will turn it around. And 1 Peter 5 says it this way. Listen to this. It says, in the proper time. Humble yourselves, therefore, mighty God, at the proper... Everybody say proper time. Oh, you're coming. You're coming to the throne, but it's going to be in the proper time. Yeah, your family's going to be together, but it's in the proper time. Yeah, you're going to get that promotion, but it's going to be in the proper time. You're going to gain, yeah, but it's going to be in the proper time. See, you've been sitting there wanting the arrows to fall short, but you've been sitting there, and every time you look and pray, like the arrows are going further past you. And you know in your heart, oh, God, I'm not going to the palace right now. I'm going to the wilderness. I may be in there, but God, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to seek you because I don't look to the hills from which comes my strength. I look to the God and the maker of heaven and earth. That's where my strength comes from. I'll depend on you, God. I may not have another friend. I may not have anybody. I'm in the wilderness right now. You begin to understand that at the proper time. Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Listen, and that's the difference between those that come in really seeking God and those don't. I don't know if you, how many's ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? How many's ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? We take our kids to Chuck E. Cheese. They've got this one game at Chuck E. Cheese that feels like my life sometimes. You know the one where you get the hammer, the little thing, and the little heads pop up, and you smack one. As soon as you smack one, two more pop over here. And you ever have that like your life? You smack one down and two more, and you're like you're running like 90 to nothing. And then you have the great experience going to that counter with all those tickets and having your kids scream and cry because the one they picked broke the first time they used it to come on somebody. So when you do all that, you just hit that thing. You keep doing it. So your life can be like that at times. And I've talked about my life. You knock down one thing, three more things come up. Listen, Pastor, you don't know the tragedy. You don't know the heartache. You don't know the hours and the loneliness and the tiresomeness. You don't know. I'm sitting here flat-footed and telling you straight out, all things work together for the good. I'm telling you this morning, God will keep you fresh. You'll keep more your life, your relationships. I'm going to tell you this. You need the catfish from hell. 1 Kings chapter 20 speaks about the valleys. Mature faith stands up, and when the arrows fly over your head in the wilderness, you say, I still trust God anyway. See, immature faith says only when skies are blue is God good, or only when skies are blue is things really good. But watch this. The people of Israel were mustered and were provisioned and went against them, and the people of Israel camped about before them like two little flocks of goats by the Syrians filled the country. And men of God came near and said to the king of Israel, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said the Lord is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore I will give all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. If you think he's only the God of the hills, you don't know the God you're serving. Because he's also the God of the valleys. Because it's in the valley. Come on, it's the rose of Sharon. In the valley is where God teaches you many things. Pain is always one of the best teachers in life. There are things that you learn that you through pain that you say, I will never do that again. Other things that you just kind of, you're likely to do it again. But when you learn something by pain, you learn you're not going to do that again. The ideal approach to life is rejoice in everything because you believe God is on the throne. The ideal approach to life is to lift your hands in whatever situation you are and say, I trust you, God. I don't care what comes my way. The ideal way to live life is to be able to rejoice in everything. The ideal approach to life is to lift your hand and say, I serve a God that's so big, nothing can come into my life without him allowing it. Nothing can come into my life without him using it for my good. I know, devil, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I know you want to tear me down, but God's going to use it for good. And it brings you to the place where you begin to understand God. Listen, the dark threads are just as important as the gold threads in a tapestry. Did you know that? The dark threads are just as important as the golden threads in a tapestry. Some of us don't want the dark threads. We just want the gold. If all you had was golden threads, there'd be no picture. There'd be no beauty. When God gets through with the old catfish from hell, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to pick him up by the tail and drop him in a pit. The Bible says it has no bottom. You know what a bottomless pit is? That's a pit that doesn't have a bottom. Do you know what that means? That means God's going to throw him so far, he's never going to stop falling. Just thought I'd tell you about that. Because he will be defeated. He is defeated. One day it will be evident between us all. And God will do those very things. Come on, somebody. Noah got off the ark in Genesis chapter 9, and watch this. I've set my bow in the blue sky. Is that what God says? I've set my bow on the rainless days. Is that what God said? See, the rainbow was the symbol of God's promise and God's covenant. It's the Noah covenant. Literally, listen to this. You don't get rainbows in the blue skies. You don't get rainbows when there's cloudless skies. The only time you get a rainbow is when the sky becomes dark and cloudy. Only time you get rainbows is when the rains start falling on your life. The only time, listen, you gotta. I remember this week, we were working this week with some orphans and some orphanages in Beirut. And I'll never forget this because I read this, an orphan wrote this one time, said, if there'd been no tears falling from our eyes, there'd be no rainbows in our hearts. If there'd been no tears falling from our eyes, there would be no rainbows in our heart. How we long for cloudless days. How we long for blue skies. How we long for the gentle breeze. But I'm going to tell you, you'd become so stagnant, you wouldn't know what to do. Some of you say, well, I could use a little stagnant right now. Well, it will come in the proper time. It will be there in the proper time. God will do what he said he will do. Now, let me do this. Look at that letter I gave you. You got a little letter out there. I liked it. I don't know whether I can read it. It's so little. Somebody wrote it so little. But this little letter, look at that little letter if you would. It says, dear child of mine, I have a message for you today. And let me whisper it just so you can... So that it will put a silver lining in any storm that may arise and smooth the rough places in your road. It is short, only 5 words, but then let it sink in. And then it will be a pillar upon which you may rest your weary head. Here they are. This thing is from me. Oh, I think only good things are from God. I'm sorry, I thought it said all things. I understand the philosophy and the theology of saying only. I understand that. And God can take what the devil meant and all the bad, and God can use that for good. But what God does is, if he wanted, you know this smart enough, if God wanted to, he could stop everything from us. He could stop it all. But what he knows is what the need of our life really is. It's like raising a child, and all the child wants is popsicles, candy. I don't want all that broccoli. I don't want that. And yet God knows the need of our life. God knows what he'll do in our lives. Now watch this. I was cleaning my office out, and we're going to do something. I'm going to take you back. Bring the lights down a little bit, would you, if here? I want to bring you back about 35 years to 1978. And we used to be a wild bunch back in 78. And I found a tape by one of our backup singers. We used to cut albums. You remember what an album was? An album is a record. You don't remember what a record was? It's this big round thing and all that. And you remember what a cassette is? A cassette is that little thing with tape on it and all this. If you don't remember what an 8-track was a reel-to-reel, you know, 8-track with two big reels of tape over here and here. And we one time, back in the 70s, we would cut albums. One of our guys in our church, Walt McKenzie, went to Nashville, cut an album. But one of our backup singers named June Newman, she got some of our musicians here, and they just went and made a cassette tape. And they did a song, and it was based on, turn Habakkuk, would you? It's based off of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, I believe it is. And this, do I have that? Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3 says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor there be fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will, everybody say rejoice. The word rejoice in the Hebrew language means to jump up. Everybody say jump up. It means to spin around. It means to leap. And here's Habakkuk talking about a time of his life when the clouds have rolled in, the storm is raging, it's absolutely horrible and everything that's taking place. And the Bible says, he says, and he speaks of a higher wisdom than what most people understand. He said, I'm going to tell you something. Even though all of that's taking place in my life, I'm going to jump for joy. I'm going to leap like a deer. I'm going to twirl and spin around. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Look at verse 19. God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like high, like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places to the choir master with string. It was a song that he sang. And she wrote a song with our musicians. Listen, this is from this is an old tape that's been in a box since 1970-something. So they did the best they could to bring it and resurrect it. I just gave it to them this morning. Gave them plenty of time to prepare for this morning. And it's an old tape. This is a song called I Will Jump. Come on, listen to this.
worship him and turn and worship him some more. When I jump up, land down, leap and step down in the Lord and love the God of my salvation. Though my fig tree shall not blossom and no fruit be on my vine, my olive branch should falter and my field produce no food. Though my flock be cut off from their fold and no cattle can I find, I will rejoice with a
Come on, everybody stand up today. Come on. Some of you are laying down with self-pity. Come on, somebody. If you look across, when you get all mopey and you get all down and nobody's ever had as bad as you in life and, you know, horrible and da-da-da, what you're doing is you self-pity just climbed into bed with you. And let me tell you, you whatever you are, you give into, you attract. And I like that part because I wanted you to see that when she got up, she wrote that little song because we were talking about when you begin to see all these other ones. See, demons never come alone. They always have their cousin. Come on, somebody. And when you give in to self-pity has a lot of raunchy cousins you don't want in your life. They've got fear, they got doubt, they got sin. It brings it into your life. How much better would it be just to lift your hands and love? Come on, somebody. Give them a good clap offering one more time. Come on. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we rebuke self-pity. We don't give in to it. Lord, we thank you that you've not put on more than we can bear. But you've given us a way of escape on every one of these situations that we face. And so this morning, Lord, we just repent from all the wrong attitudes that we have bought into. And Lord, it's brought all their filthy cousins with them and all those who are trying to get part of our life again. And so, Lord, we right now, we just take the word of God and we thank you. We'll say like Habakkuk, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, there'll be no fruit on the vines, the cattle will be cut off, all that. Lord, we just say we will rejoice in you this week. We're going to lift our hands and tell you, Lord, that you're going to work all things together for the good. Thank you for the catfish from hell that's nibbling at our feet. Keeping us fresh, keeping us hungry, keeping us wanting to serve you. And so, Lord, this morning I just pray and bind the devil from trying to devour completely. We thank you right now for the word of God that will be substance and life and strength to their life. And, Lord, this week let a spirit of rejoicing replace a spirit, a garment of mourning and all that stuff. Lord, let a spirit of rejoice, let a garment of praise be put on this morning. And this week, Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen one more time. Give them another good clap offering. God bless you. Turn around and hug somebody. We'll see you next Sunday.